This is the Lucy Ann Lance Show, Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY. In 1980, the Bayh-Dole Act gave universities and research institutions ownership of the intellectual property, or IP, stemming from discoveries made in part from federally funded scientific research. It's a very interesting look now over the last three, four decades of what has transpired since then. And we're going to personalize this for you today in our conversation by talking with an Ann Arbor resident. Her name is Betsy DePerry, and she lives and works with her husband here in Ann Arbor. They own Ann Arbor Builders, really great stewards of our community. And she has recovered from non-Hodgkin lymphoma. In fact, she no longer has cancer. Betsy, your journey has been incredible to witness. Tell everyone what happened.
Well, thanks for having us, Lucy Ann. And basically, I was diagnosed with a quote-unquote incurable form of non-Hodgkin lymphoma very early in 2002. At the time, chemotherapy was really my only option, but it just didn't work. Back-to-back different combinations just didn't work. And so my disease was just roaring on. And very lucky for me, in the nick of time, a new type of treatment that attacks the cancer differently became available. So that treatment was really developed because of the Bayh-Dole Act. And so I have now been cancer-free and healthy for 18 years and counting, which is really remarkable.
And was this just after two doses, I understand, of this drug that had been developed?
Yes, two doses a week apart, and that's what literally stopped the cancer in its tracks. And in part, there were two, this is called radioimmunotherapy, there were two drugs developed in that class of medicine. One of them was developed right here at the University of Michigan. So, you know, again, this is my story, but my story is multiplied by millions, literally, across the country and around the world. And it's all because this Bayh-Dole Act enabled scientists to turn their discoveries into products that truly help people.
Also joining us is Joe Allen, and Joe is executive director of the Bayh-Dole 40. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Joe, these senators in this act, Birch Bayh of Indiana and Bob Dole out of Kansas, had teamed up on this issue. How has it become so controversial since then?
Well, to back up for what Betsy said, before Bayh-Dole, which was passed, as you said, in 1980, if the government funds $140 billion in research, really cutting-edge research, but it doesn't make them into products. So before Bayh-Dole, they were just given away, and people like Betsy, rather than having a drug that could help them, would have a research paper. So Bayh and Dole were on both different sides of the political aisle, but when they found that out, it just made no sense. In fact, not a single drug had been developed from National Institutes of Health-funded research because the rights were destroyed, and no company is going to step in there and spend 10 years and maybe $2 billion developing something if they can't protect that investment. So we passed Bayh-Dole. I didn't realize it at the time, but Senator Bayh's wife, Marvella, had breast cancer. We knew that. She was actually being treated at NIH, and she became aware that a lot of these therapies were just wasting away because no one had the incentive to make them into products. So Bayh-Dole changed that so people like Betsy could benefit. It's been a tremendous success, but what happened was 20 years after the law passed, some people came up with a new theory that Bayh-Dole allowed the government to set prices for things that have been successfully brought to market. And Senator Bayh and Senator Dole immediately came back and said, no, that's not how it works. You know, if you want to control prices, you have to have another piece of legislation. But if you try to do that under Bayh-Dole, you'll kill the relationship because these companies are taking a significant risk. And no one's going to do that if after you come up with something successful, maybe 15, 20 years later, people can go back and take it away from you if somebody doesn't like the price. So we said, you know, you're going to kill innovation. You're not going to lower prices. You're just going to hurt people like Betsy, Marvella Bayh, other people out there that are depending on these therapies getting out of the laboratory and being made useful.
So the this was the fact that the procedures by which these federal contractors had acquired ownership of inventions made with federal funding, that they could retain that ownership?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, University of Michigan is a great example. You've got a leading university there. Before Bayh-Dole, if you made an invention, the government would take it away from you and give it away to everybody, so foreign competitors, whoever. And the problem was, these are such early stage inventions, particularly in drug development. I mean, the government's not funding drugs. It's funding ideas about drugs. So unless a company's going to step in and take that risk, 95% of new drugs fail. The average cost is $800 million to $2 billion of private sector money. No one is going to make that investment if you can't protect it. So Senator Bayh and Senator Dole said, you know, let's give the incentive now to people like the folks at University of Michigan to come up with these ideas, see if they can find a partner that's going to commercialize them. Maybe they start a new company. Maybe they license an existing company, but at least trying to make it into a product. The government can still use the research, so we didn't change that. But I mentioned to you before that not a single drug had come out before Bayh-Dole when they took the rights away. 300 new drugs and vaccines are on the market right now because of Bayh-Dole. The U.S. leads in drug development. You just see what happened with COVID-19. We're far and away the most successful country. And, you know, we don't want to change that by somebody going back and suddenly re-engineering the whole theory on things that it was never intended to do.
And Joe, Bayh-Dole also, it authorized these agencies, the federal agencies, to grant exclusive licenses to the inventions that were owned by the federal government?
Yes, exactly. Because you do have people like at the National Institutes of Health that actually do their own research. And the same thing was happening with the government inventions. There was no incentive. There was, you know, nobody in the U.S. was commercializing them. So Bayh-Dole also said that they can license their inventions to U.S. companies and small companies in particular, and they can give exclusive licenses, which means only one company can use them if that's justified. So they don't always do that. But again, the higher the risk, the more likely it is a company's going to say, look, if I'm going to get into this thing, I want to make sure I can protect my market position. So because of Bayh-Dole, NIH, what just happened in COVID with NIH and companies and venture capital coming together seamlessly shows that our system is working. And, you know, to have a vaccine come out 6 months after they started is never happened in the history of the world. So we've got a pretty good system.
Betsy, it's such a personal story for you. And you say you owe your life to the drug that ultimately cured you and made you cancer free. When you think about something like the Bayh-Dole Act, what does that mean to you?
What it means to me is that without this legislation, there never would have been an avenue to really get this idea into people. It would have languished as a, you know, maybe an interesting scientific paper for those who like to read that kind of thing, but it never would have turned into a product to help me. And just to add on to what Joe said, you know, if you put this into perspective on a local level, last year, the University of Michigan executed 268 new licenses and launched 31 new startups. And I would, you know, it's all because of Bayh-Dole. Otherwise, inventions would have just been languishing as patents. So they never would have turned into products that can truly help people. And that's why this legislation is so important. It's literally, again, turned ideas into products. It's also created companies, and it's launched hundreds of thousands of jobs. It's just a brilliant piece of legislation that very few people know anything about.
There's an interesting twist to all of this, and this is something called march-in rights. And Joe, you're going to have to educate us on this. It is one of the most contentious provisions in Bayh-Dole. And my understanding is it allows the funding agency on its own or at the request of another party to effectively ignore the exclusivity of a patent awarded under the Act and grant additional licenses to other reasonable applicants. Tell us a little bit more about march-in rights and the impact that has.
Well, you did a very good summary. The purpose of Bayh-Dole is to make sure that if we give invention rights to a university or a company, like a small company that made the invention, that they're going to actually try to commercialize it. And remember, back in 1980, we didn't have many things being commercialized. So Congress's fear was, you know, we want to make sure that companies aren't licensing a breakthrough invention to stop it from being commercialized, because maybe it threatens a product they've already got on the market. You know, you don't want buggy whip makers getting the rights to a car, you know, because you got an incentive to kill it. So what we saw was, and also, you know, a lot of universities were not experienced. In 1980, only a few universities had a technology transfer office like Michigan does now. So we said, okay, let's have a fail safe. It's like the airbag in your car. We hope it'll never be used, but if you need it, it's there. And so what the margin rights say is that if a company is not making a good faith effort to commercialize an invention, or if the university is not making a good faith effort to license it, or if you have tried to commercialize it and maybe you can't meet the needs of a national emergency, you can't produce enough product to meet a national emergency, in those cases, the government can march in and say, look, we're going to license other people just because either you're not trying to commercialize it or somebody's come up like COVID-19 and, you know, God love you, but you just can't make enough dosage to meet the need. And so the government can license other people. And that's the way the law worked for the first 20 years. It's the way the law works now. 20 years after it passed, some people who actually were opposed to the law said, have you ever read the Da Vinci Code when they had all these hidden clues around they're trying to unravel? Well, when you write laws, it's not the Da Vinci Code. We didn't leave hidden breadcrumbs in the law. Someone suddenly discovered a hidden meaning 20 years later that the government could come in after you've successfully commercialized it. After you've done what you said you're going to do, anybody in the country could say, we don't like your price. And then the government could license other people. And Senator Bayh-Dole immediately came back and said, wait, there's nothing about price control in Bayh-Dole. If you did that, you would kill startup companies, because no one's going to fund a company if anybody, your brother-in-law who doesn't like you, the Chinese, anybody can say, we don't like your price, and the government can just make up on its own what the price should be. And so that's been the debate. The good news is that every administration that's looked at this has said, no, that's not how the law works. But nevertheless, that effort goes on and on and on. And, you know, a lot of people have made this more confusing than it actually is. But we're actually sent a white paper to President Biden today from the Bayh-Dole 40 organization, just going back and saying, listen, if you do this, you're going to kill innovation and you're going to kill our ability to respond to things like COVID-19, and you're not going to lower prices.
So, Joe, was it actually strengthened back 20 years ago or just explained better by Bayh-Dole?
Well, I think it's always been, you know, if you're reading statutes, sometimes they're kind of hard to interpret. So the law has worked the same way now it did 40 years ago. But it's interesting that the people who were against the law then waited 20 years to come up and say, oh, we just found a secret meaning in Bayh-Dole that no one ever knew before, and try to turn the whole law on its head. You know, what Bayh-Dole did is says, get the bureaucracy out of the way. Let people like University of Michigan that make inventions, let them own it and manage it. Because when the government tried to manage inventions before, it was a failure. And the opponents really like that model. They really want to have Washington sort of decide who owns things and who gets them. And if you had the government suddenly able to come in and say, we're going to decide on our own what a price should be. And again, that's completely made up. There's nothing in the statute. So, you know, there's no way to look at what a reasonable price should be other than just making it out of thin air. And no one's going to start a company if you could take their product away on something like that, where there's, you know, anybody just has a feeling they don't like what you did and can have the government take it away from you. It would collapse our whole system overnight.
So what is the Bayh-Dole 40 then?
Well, Bayh-Dole 40 is actually, last year was the 40th anniversary of the Bayh-Dole Act. And we had people like Betsy come on and explain what the law did. We thought this is a great opportunity because, you know, not a lot of folks remember what Bayh-Dole did. It's 40 years ago. And we wanted to celebrate the successes of Bayh-Dole, explain how the law works, that people like Betsy are literally alive today, that the U.S. is the number one economy. We're leading all technology fields because of Bayh-Dole. Small companies are spinning out of universities because of Bayh-Dole. And we also wanted to talk about some of the issues that are coming up so people had a background on how the law works. And that was so successful, we've actually decided to continue into this year as the Bi-Dole Coalition. Because, again, these issues are coming up right now. Joe Biden was actually a supporter of Bi-Dole when he was on the Senate Judiciary Committee. So, you know, but of course, all of his staffers are long gone by then. So we're just going back and trying to educate people. The law does work as it was written. It has tremendous benefits. And the last thing we want to do now with the economy and COVID-19 is undo something, which is frankly the bright light for us to get our way out of here.
We're talking to Joe Allen, Executive Director of Bi-Dole 40, and also with us Betsy DePerry, an Ann Arbor resident who has benefited from this and is now cancer-free. Joe, are you anticipating problems ahead for this, or is this just more of an education piece right now to say, look, this is the way it's been for the last 40 years. It's worked well. We've had these innovations, and people have been cured in many cases and survived catastrophes because of the entrepreneurs that are out there and because of what this act does to preserve that.
We're actually doing both, because anytime you have a new administration, there's always an opportunity for people to try to get in there before they get their feet on the ground and sort of push them in a direction. So, you know, we're hoping for the best, we're preparing for the worst. And that's why we want to get a paper to Senator, to President Biden saying, listen, you supported this law in the Senate Judiciary Committee and you knew what you were doing. And the law has worked way beyond any of our expectations that we could have had in 1980. And again, the Biden administration is going to succeed or fail on two issues. It's going to be, can you get the economy going and can you get the pandemic under control? And Bi-Dole is critical to both. And you know, the shame of it is, if you weaken Bi-Dole, you're not helping anybody. You're not going to lower prices. What you're going to do is you're going to kill innovation. So, you know, it's a moral issue. You know, it's people like Betsy who literally depend on this. And the last thing we want to do now is pull the plug on a system that's worked for 40 years and continues to work today.
Would you agree then that price control is not the way to go, regardless of whether it's through Bi-Dole or some other initiative in Congress in regards to these drug prices? Or do you think that something could possibly be done regarding the cost of drugs today?
Well, drug pricing is over my pay grade. So, but I'll, you know, again, if Congress wants to address it, it's a very complicated issue. It's really complicated. And a lot of it comes because the bottom line is drugs are really risky and very expensive to produce. Again, 95% of new drugs fail in tests. Those costs are enormous when they fail. And, you know, estimates are, and these are conservative estimates, it costs $800 million to $2 billion for every drug that makes the market, which not only has to pay for themselves, but also has to pay for all the ones that failed. And 50% of our new drugs come from small companies. So, I have to buy prescription drugs like everybody else. If we can find ways to lower prices without hurting innovation, I'm all for that. But that's not what Bi-Dole is for. Bi-Dole is to give incentives to get federally funded inventions out of the laboratory into the marketplace, and it does that. So our message is, listen, the drug price control debate has to be separate from this, because if you try to inject price control into something that's already as risky as developing a federally funded invention, companies are just going to walk away. They did it before Bi-Dole. They've done it every time people have tried to include reasonable pricing provisions into licensing agreements. So we've run the experiment. It doesn't work, and it doesn't benefit anybody. I mean, no one's better off by doing it. And in fact, people are much worse off, because you're not going to have the kind of therapies that Michigan developed that have our friend Betsy walking around today.
You know, Betsy, just a few months after your diagnosis, then this drug hits the market. Zevalin, is that the name of it? Zevalin?
Zevalin, yes.
Zevalin. Did you know when this was presented to you, this new drug, that this was going to be the cure for you? Or did they say it could be? What was your realization at that point, after being told you had this non-curable form of non-Hodgkin's?
Well, actually, it was so new that I had one doctor tell me, because your disease has responded so poorly to chemotherapy, we really don't expect that this is going to help your disease much, but we really won't know. So I sort of brushed him aside and said, you know what? I'm just going to believe that it's going to work. But every single scan, every single follow-up for the first couple of years, it was pretty, you know, scary when I would walk in there. But here I am, literally 18 years and counting later.
Isn't that amazing?
It is really remarkable.
Well, you've always been very positive. You've had a great outlook in the time that I've known you and what you've done in our community here. And likewise for your husband, Alex, and you guys have seen a lot of challenges along the way. So it doesn't surprise me now that you've become the poster child for this.
Yes. Well, I think the other thing, too, that Joe didn't mention, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but I believe the Bayh-Dole Act passed with 96 votes, yay votes. Is that correct? That's what I thought. So this was
that's correct.
Such a bipartisan piece of legislation that has helped so many people. And it's one of the reasons that I keep saying, this is why bipartisanship matters. It really, it's a perfect example. And I just wish people today would look to this if they need an example of why bipartisanship matters so much. You know, their behavior in Washington and state legislatures can certainly really benefit people if they tone down the rhetoric a little bit. So let's get back to some collaboration.
That's a very good point, Betsy. Betsy DePerry, Joe Allen. Joe is executive director of an organization called Bayh-Dole 40, now known as Bayh-Dole Coalition. And you can go to BayhDoleCoalition.org and get more information. B-A-Y-H-Dole, D-O-L-E, BayhDoleCoalition.org. What do you want our listeners to do, Joe?
Well, you know, I think Betsy, you made an excellent point. We had 97-year-old Bob Dole, who was actually a wounded 23-year-old second lieutenant in World War II, came on our program with Betsy last year, and God love him. He did a really moving tribute to Birch Bayh, my former boss, who died in 2019. And, you know, if there was a dry eye in the house, it wasn't mine.
Aww.
So Bayh and Dole were on different sides of the aisle. It was like the Super Bowl last night. They played hard. But on things that they could agree on, like this, where it just didn't make any sense to waste money and have people like Betsy suffering needlessly by not having things commercialized. And I think, you know, if people in Washington can at least, you won't agree on everything, but certain things you can agree on. For example, we want the vaccine developed and rolled out as quickly as possible. No one's against that. Focus on the things you can agree on, get something across the finish line, and stop all the division. I think we're just worn out from all this constant fighting, and you know it's tearing the country apart. So as Betsy said, Bayh-Dole's an example. Again, we fought against Bob Dole, and Bob Dole fought against us, and a lot of other things. There's a reason there's two political parties, but at some point you just got to set that aside and say, listen, we've got something here, which we have to agree on. We have to get something done, and thank God we've got people like Betsy around today. Thank God we've got a COVID vaccine that could literally save the world. And those are not small things. I mean, we should be thankful for that. And as opposed to trying to tinker around with something that works, leave that aside and tinker around with things that are problems. You know, this is not a problem. Leave it alone.
Bayh-Dole Act. 40 years in the making. Amazing. It grants universities and small businesses licensing rights to innovations they discover using federal dollars. Great talking with both of you today. And Betsy, continued great health to you. Thank you. Betsy DePerry of Ann Arbor and Joe Allen from Bayh-Dole Coalition and Bayh-Dole 40. I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and this is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.